to order. It's going to be a first meeting for a couple of our members, so when we introduce ourselves this morning, which we always sort of start at one end and work our way over, our new members will be introducing themselves, so Harry and Steph will be here. So let's do that. Let's just begin with the introductions, and we'll start with Denise.
I'm Denise Blazek, and I'm relatively... Oh, sorry, I forgot about that.
Well, I'm the new guy, Harry Castillo. I've lived in Columbia almost all my life. Just decided to join the board as, again, my civic duty. Thought it would be my civic duty, so glad to be here. Hopefully I can
welcome.
Help.
Yeah, welcome.
Welcome. Stephanie Coleman, board member.
Reese Ellis, board member.
Stephanie Yoakum, brand new board member, here representing the Human Rights Commission on behalf of them. So. I come from an insurance and homelessness outreach type background, so that's...
Doug Hunt, and now I'm now chair and a familiar face. So.
Mm-hmm. Stephen Jeffrey, I guess vice chair, right? Vice chair, so very excited.
Jamie Thornsberry, board member.
Xavier Scruggs, board member.
And our first...
staff liaison. I didn't... Reese looked at me, so I thought I had to say...
And Matt Unrein, I'm the assistant city manager, also staff liaison.
Is our...
Thank you. Sorry. One of the things that happens is this little board interferes. So. Next order of business would be just the approval of the agenda for tonight. Do I hear a motion to accept, or does anybody see anything that needs to be revised on the agenda for tonight?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded.
Second. Who? Okay.
Xavier.
Okay. All right. It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? And I think the draft minutes were attached to the announcement that went out. So people, I think, should have had time to look at them. Obviously, if you're a new member, you're in a somewhat odd position about approving the minutes. Although, Harry, you were saying you've been looking at the things online, so you can sort of see what's going on. So, does anybody have anything they want to correct or any problems, or do we have a motion to accept the minutes as they stand?
So I'd make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
That would be the draft minutes and the closed minutes.
We can do both. Yeah, go ahead and move for both if that's okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So we have a motion and a second. I think Xavier's nodding there to approve both the draft open meeting minutes and the draft closed meeting minutes. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed. All right. Planning session, old business, first of all. And I think these are, Rose and I had a conversation earlier today to make sure what's going on. These are mainly just updates on where we stand on things that we've got listed under old business. You'll recall that last time we talked about what would be the most opportune time to have our planning, our work session, which is, you know, again, an opportunity for the public to discuss with us. Police policy 447, which is the body-worn camera policy. We settled on April 24th as the most eligible date. So I think that that's what we're looking at so far as I know. And I think, Rose, you told me that we might move the meeting back to 6:15. Is that right, from 6 o'clock?
Correct.
Yeah. That has to do with just a scheduling question for the room. And as this happened before, And I think board members who are rushing in from work will be glad to hear that. There will be some food provided.
Yes.
And Rose is kindly making the arrangements for that. And the food will go out at 5:45 for our 6:15 meeting. And, of course, members of the public are welcome to have the food as well. Anything else on that, Rose, that we need to be thinking about?
I don't know of anything else unless you have particular things you want to eat and you want to weigh in on that. I know, Xavier, your food preferences, but you had asked about live stream?
Is it live streamed? I can't be here. I already know that. So we already talked about that, but I couldn't remember.
It isn't because we're in 1A and 1B.
Okay.
Is there a quorum? Is there a quorum requirement for this meeting?
There is, unless you don't want it to be an official meeting, but it should have a quorum. And I believe Stephen may also have
sure,
a conflict.
At this point, yeah.
So is there anyone else who can't be here on April 24th?
Let's assume a quorum. And just a preventative measure, so to speak, Rose, if we get in an awkward situation where members of the public come up and want to comment and we're short of a quorum, can we declare this anything but a...
I would say we would just reschedule.
It would be the best practice
because the last meeting was really engaging and the board really interacted and there was good communication, I think, between the public and the board, and you want to be able to engage in that sort of discussion, which is a real meeting. If you were at less than a quorum amount, the only thing that we will sometimes allow is like just a straight out presentation, but not where the board would talk about the topic or vote on anything.
Yeah, and I think that's right. Because this, I mean, as with all these things, should it become complicated, we could do a follow-up session, but this might be the one opportunity for everybody really to weigh in. So let's assume that in the absence of a quorum, we'll just have to cancel, but we'll count on a quorum. It looks pretty good here. So.
Well, and if something comes up and you get in that situation, just let me know right away. I'll do a quorum check, and assuming we still have a quorum, the meeting will happen. If there is no quorum, then letting the public know earlier is better than having them have to show up and realize that the meeting's canceled, even though sometimes that happens. So,
all right, any questions about that? Or is the general picture clear? I know not everybody here has participated in one of these. We tried to, we had talked about whether we would have somebody from the department perhaps talk about the what the policy actually is. But we'll settle that when we get there. Unlike the use of force policy, which we were discussing last time, it isn't like 8 pages of dense. It's a fairly compact thing, and so fairly easy to explain. And I think we can do okay with that. Okay.
There was a point that was brought up about the meal. Did we decide on what it is, where it's coming from?
I have not. I was going to ask around with other city departments to have some good gluten-free and vegetarian options as well as for people who want meat, but I haven't done that yet.
Okay.
If you'd like me to consider something, you can.
No, I don't have anything to add. I just had that question, but you've clarified, so thank you.
Also under old business, and again, this is really a question of explaining where we are on something rather than any new action being required. You know, I was telling Harry that we've got the advantage of my being foggy-headed because it's allergy season, so I will end up over-explaining things, and that might be okay. what we're dealing with in policy 2152 is the amount of time allowed when we have a complaint filed. We've got a limited amount of time for the complaint to be resolved. And we're talking about just one little portion of that, which is what happens in this rather metered system that we've got if the complainant is unhappy with the chief's preliminary finding and appeals to us, and then we disagree with the chief, and we you know send out appropriate notice. The chief then is in a position as the regulations are presently written, to where there's a 5-day response period, which is a strain, and it's made awkward because the consequence under present regulation of not responding in 5 days is to have the initial decision stand. So the main thing we're doing here is saying if there's cause to call for an extension, it can't go on and on because we're in a tight schedule anyhow. But if there's call for, if there's need for an extension for the chief to really look into it, the chief can do so. And the other thing we wanted to make sure is that in those situations, all the parties be informed, that we know what's going on, that the complainant know what's going on, that the officer, if an officer is involved, the officer know what's going on, so there's no mystery about what's going on during that period. So that's the gist of what's going on. And the city council has discussed this once in a preliminary way. They're doing and those of you who know city council procedure better than I can correct me, they're doing a first reading on May 6th. So
it's tentative for that date. So the legislation is drafted and the memo is drafted, but they haven't finalized that agenda yet. So the goal would be the May 6th for first read, and the second meeting would be the discussion and vote.
Right. And I got a request to be present at the May 20th meeting for the discussion, so I intend to do that. And we'll try to give a somewhat more coherent summary of what this is at that time. But I think it's familiar to people who sat in on the discussion last month at any rate. So that's merely an update. Does anybody have any questions about those, the change that we're making there, or any concerns about it? It is now properly drafted and ready to go. I think the next item is going to be the one that may require the most discussion of us. Those of you who've been on the board for a while, you know that audit season is upon us, and that audit season is when we do a lot of our heavy lifting, really. For those of you who aren't so familiar with it, obviously, if a citizen files a complaint and isn't happy with the result and they file an appeal, we look at that just as soon as we can. And again, there are sharp limitations. We have to act quite quickly. But that's a fraction of the complaints that get filed. And like any organization that is being audited or ought to be audited because it's complex performance that they're doing, we want to look at those cases that didn't get appealed as well as the cases that did get appealed. And so we have this year, we'll be reviewing those for 2023, and in rough numbers there were about 100 complaints that we'll be looking at. We can't look at all of them, but it's very time-consuming if done properly, because if there's any complexity in a case at all, you end up looking at the initial complaint, the reports on the internal investigation, body-worn camera footage, chain of command review. There's a lot to check. So we need to think about, it's like the beginning of the baseball season. If you're in baseball, we need to think about what our plan for the season is. I'll remind you that what we did last year, and it was fairly successful, was to form working groups, we picked the three most common complaints and assigned one to each of the working groups. The working groups are short of a quorum, so they're not taking official action. They're looking at whether this is something that they've got concerns about that they need to bring to the entire board or not. So the final disposition is a question that comes before the final board. Now, what I'll say right now, and I really do, I'm not sure what our best procedure is. I'll give you some thoughts. Our most common complaints from 2023 in order are discourtesy complaints, initial investigation complaints. Now, that might be opaque wording to some people, but as I understand it, and somebody who knows better can correct me if I'm wrong, if the citizen feels, for instance, that the initial investigation was inadequate and the officer assigned whatever didn't do an adequate job, they can complain about that. So that's the second most common. Use of force is right behind it. So we had 15 discourteous or disrespectful conduct, 12 initial investigation, 11 use of force. And then I'll go ahead and say, because it's meaningful to me at any rate, that there were seven search and seizure complaints. And those can be complicated because they have to do with, you know, for instance, entering into private property and stuff like that. We have a number of categories. But we can't do everything. So two thoughts are on my mind, I guess. It might be wise to divide into groups of three to do these. It might be wise to have each group have an experienced and an inexperienced person on it and people in between, so we don't, you know, so we're not, and nobody's starting out fresh. And the idea is that the groups would, the working groups would compare notes with each other about what they felt and hash it out if they need to before bringing their suggestions to the board when we're discussing their things in closed session. We obviously can't do, like, for instance, if we're looking at initial investigation, 12 things, it's too much to ask any group to do a dozen of them at once. So probably what we'll do, as we did last year, is the group will take a limited number, you know, maybe they'll be doing three or four for a given meeting. So this may stretch out, our season may stretch out. That's the general picture I've got now. The other thing that I would, and I really want to hear what other people say on this, because it's a question of what's, you've got to think about your time, how much time you can devote to this, and your comfort level. And, you know, a lot of things to think about here. One other thought is that we could either plunge in, that is, get a working group that works on discourteous and disrespectful conduct and have that group start with, go to work and have other working groups. Or we could, if it would make people feel more comfortable with the process, say for the first meeting, which would be next month, when we go into closed session, let's have the whole board do three or four. So we all look at the same thing together and feel like we've got our feet wet and are all on the same ground, and then divide up into groups to do things. And I really would appreciate hearing what people think makes most sense to them on that.
I have a question.
Yes.
So I know when we were given that information, we talked to, I forget the gentleman's name, that
Paul Dickinson?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was supposed to send us a spreadsheet
it's
with
there.
It broke
it
down.
Was sent. Mm-hmm.
I didn't get it.
It's in Rose's email with sent on
March 20th.
I didn't see that one.
It's the same one. Yeah. It says report is the subject. And it says see the attached report from Assistant Chief Dickinson, March 20th.
I had the same problem.
In fact, I was like, "That's."
I called in a panic today.
I didn't know where you were coming up with all that. I'm like, "Did you go through every single bit of that and try to look at that?" Because I wasn't going to.
There was a nice summary. The other thing that Paul said that I don't know entirely what to make of yet is that he's looking into how the documents are organized.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at those of you who have done it before, you know, it's quite a fishing expedition because you have a lot of different documents attached. But I haven't seen yet what the package is going to look like that we're going to be dealing with. So in a sense, even if you've done this before...
Can't be any worse, right?
Well, yeah, no, I don't think it can be any worse. But we'll be looking at a different package than we did before. So all of us, in a sense, might be... and since he's not here to answer a question, I don't think we're going to know exactly. So let's take this step at a time. Do you think it would be better? Go ahead. Yes.
I like the idea of having all of us as a group... do two or three, so we just say what our general parameters are. And having not done it before, I think it's a great idea to team someone up who's new with a veteran. So that makes sense to me as far as the teams would go. So that's just my opinion.
And we would do just like, you know, one of each of the three, and then...
That might not be a bad idea. So or, the, yeah. Yeah.
Because my other thought was, because there are so many more of initial, oh, well, discourtesy even, you know, we could do three discourtesy, but maybe if we did three, it would give people a sample of what they may be more comfortable dealing with, or, you know, have the capacity to deal with. So I think it's a good idea to just do a few together, because we may end up doing them together anyway. So, you know, we may as well start off that way and then break off.
I think that's a good idea. And for people who haven't done it before, it gives them a better sense of what we're really talking about when we look at a initial investigation complaint. Is that generally agreeable to people?
I think I have a couple of comments, maybe. I like the idea of doing them together. I would say we need to pick the three, and we need to review them before we get there.
Oh, absolutely.
Because that is the biggest time waste. And I know this was my group last time, and it worked very well if we picked them, watched them, got together, and spoke about them, rewatched some parts in that. Because it could take
hours.
A lot of time if we're going to review three as a big group. And they need, so I don't know if you want to just pick three random so we can get those started, so we can have the time to view those, and maybe not right now, but you can send those to Rose.
Well,
or something, so that we can, if we're going to do this at the next meeting.
Steve, do you have a
no,
Well, we have to be given, yeah, we'll have to get the evidence and all of that.
That's what I mean. If we can get, that's what I'm saying, if we can go ahead and pick the random three to just.
To Jamie's point, yeah, I would echo that, because again, trying to do all this together, it'd be like herding cats, I think.
Yes.
Right. No offense to cats, but
yeah,
the small groups worked great. I thought that was a great, and we did it the same way last time. We had veterans lead each one, and we can always pick those when we meet then in closed session with the first three.
Why don't we? It's interesting. Before we started talking, now I was thinking, well, we could knock off three discourtesies, but now I think it makes very good sense. Why don't we consider just saying, take them in order in. Let's take the discourtesy complaint that's at the top, first one listed, the initial investigation, first one listed, and the use of force, first one listed, and we'll request that Assistant Chief Dickinson provide us with the information. To your point, Denise, I think what I would suggest is throw yourself into these initial ones, and see what happens, and we'll all be together to at the first meeting to discuss it. Yeah.
When I made that suggestion, I never intended that we would do what I would consider the homework here.
Right.
We would do all that and then come and go, here's what I
think. I just
want
to make sure we
otherwise,
get the homework,
oh my
so
God.
We can do
yeah,
it.
So
yeah,
so I didn't mean to.
I guess the other thing that I would say to those of you who haven't done this at all, now mind you, even those who have done it before are going to be looking at a somewhat different system for gathering the information. But you can send me an email and say, what the heck does this mean? Where do I find this? Or I'm sure Rose would be glad to help. And I suspect that Assistant Chief Dickinson's going to want to hear how comfortable you are with the system. So it'll be a great chance for us to just give it a try.
And I think last time my group, maybe me, I don't remember, asked for like a key, because there's different letters that are stand for different things, and if you don't know, you don't know. And so it's nice to have a little key of, I don't know if it was like body cam, incident report, like different letters that stood for things. And I was like, what does this mean? What does this mean? What am I clicking on? What's my order here?
Yeah.
And so,
right.
Is this going to look different than like the
maybe
stuff we've already seen the last few months, like the cases that have come before us and the evidence and reports that have been provided? Isn't it pretty much the same?
They're revamping similar. It,
yeah. Yes. You're in effect, the package of information. Right. Exactly right.
Okay.
Exactly right. And in some cases, when you're doing the audit, you're probably going to discover you don't have to dive as deep as you do on the appeals.
The complaints.
The other thing, Rose, and this hadn't occurred to me before, is you had put together that, in effect, checklist sheet for things that we need to be reviewing when we do an audit. It would be very useful to supply everybody with a copy of that. So, you know, we're doing both, and this is going to be my amateur way of speaking about it. We're trying to make sure that things are done to the letter, so to speak. Did the letter informing the citizen of this go out in the time allowed? and so on and so forth. So we're in a way, that's checklist. But I think we're also always asking ourselves, effectively, does the result seem just and right to us? And, you know, so, and that has to do, you know, obviously with whether it conforms with policies and procedures of the police department. But as you, those of you who were here before well know, sometimes you look at this and say, well, it might conform with the policies and procedures as written, but maybe we need to talk about whether there needs to be some work done on the policies and procedures. So I always want to emphasize that, and important, for I think, for the citizens to know, we're not just ticking off, did this happen? We're saying, does this seem to have been properly handled? Does the result seem to be? So if I'm hearing this right, we're going to go for the first complaint on discourtesy, the first report on initial investigation, the first on use of force. Rose is going to provide us with the worksheet, in effect, that we're going to be working from. And we'll all be getting an email that tells us how to get access to the documents that we need to review. And again, this is the confidential information that we have to handle in closed session. So these are confidential documents that we're getting access to, and that all has to be set up in mysterious ways that I don't understand.
And we'll review those May 8th, is that right? Closed session May 8th is the goal? Okay.
And maybe then we can organize ourselves into those work groups after having done. Mm-hmm. Because initial investigations, that isn't one that we did last year.
We didn't.
Uh-huh. No, so uh-huh. That may be
use of force.
Use of force, yeah. Discourteous conduct, and I'm having my oops moment, that third one there.
Search and seizure.
Search and seizure.
Search and seizure.
Thank you.
So without giving the number, that first one covers three out of those four.
Really?
Yeah.
Fascinating.
All right, that'll be.
I think, nonetheless, a sensible thing for us to do would be to take the top one off the deck, because I think that's a lesson in itself. Because one of the things that we really need to always be alert to is categorization of the complaint. Very often, you know, in a way, the department has to decide how to categorize a complaint.
I guess so, what she's saying, if you take the first number, two of them are the same first number, so you can't necessarily take the first number of the two.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, discourtesy is
the same as...
Oh, it's the same one.
Yeah, okay. So
as
the
use
next
of course and yeah, searches.
Okay. So we can do the 5 points that are down, and so I'm going to use the weird expression, deal down. That is, we take the first one from discourtesy. And then if there's an overlap, when we go down to use of force, we'll drop down one more.
Can we
come up with three fresh cases.
Mm-hmm.
Just going to tell the number.
Can we tell the numbers to you?
Yes.
You want me to read them off?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Actually, could you just tell me and I'll make a note? And
yeah, I'll write it down and give it
okay.
to you.
Okay, great. And the main thing is that we all look at the same ones.
Yeah.
I don't think we have to settle the exact system.
Doug, I want to add one more thing, and we don't have to decide tonight, but I know one person had brought it up here, and I think we discussed it the last time about whether to do the internal complaints or not, and I do think we might need to look at a few of those or have a group look at a few of those internal complaints, potentially.
That's a good idea, and so, you know, what I'm going to suggest on that one, Xavier, because there's a sort of learning by doing curve here. Let's assume we do these three,
right.
And we get into a discussion of what about the and one of the difficulties that when I was looking at the spreadsheet, I didn't see numbers assigned, and so the question of how we do internal complaints is still a little mysterious to me.
Yeah.
But I think we ought to be looking at that for sure.
Yeah. Right.
So we'll figure that out, and that might be added to some group. To look at some internal complaints.
Okay.
So which three are we focusing on first then?
I gave them to Rose. I don't think we can say.
But I mean, not the specific number. I mean, what category?
We'll do one from discourtesy, one independent from initial investigation, one from use of force.
And then use of force. Okay.
Right. And then we may expand. The other thing that certainly passed through my mind, and we can discuss this depending on how our... realistic use of our time goes. There were five findings of complaints that said there was no misconduct alleged. That is, when the department looked at it, it might be worth looking at one or two of those to see whether we agree with the initial finding that this didn't need to be looked at. But that's just parsing out the labor. And I think first we'll get our feet wet for our next meeting, and then we'll have a better idea what the workload looks like. So, are we okay with that? Is that
yep.
is that a coherent plan?
Mm-hmm. Like,
poor Rose taking notes. Does she have any? Okay. All right. All right. That was an important bit of business to be done. Proposed changes to the bylaws. There is only one. And again, it was attached, so people looked at it. It was discussed last time. I had a moment of discussing this with Harry, and I will just very briefly review. We have long had at least two, in a sense, two liaisons, one from legal, one from the police department. With Matt now, we may be up to three liaisons. And so clarifying the role of the liaisons seemed important to do. So I'm going to read out the wording, if I can read my own handwriting, that was attached. As needed by the board, liaisons appointed by the city manager, the police chief, and the city councilor may attend closed sessions of the board to answer questions about laws, policies, and procedures in their areas of expertise. Let's just pause. So these are appointed liaisons, and they may attend closed sessions. Obviously, anybody can attend an open session, right? But it's okay if they attend closed session to answer questions. And the second sentence is quite important. During such sessions, they will not be advocates for any person or course of action. So in short, for instance, the police liaison is not there to say, no, I'm here to back the chief on this decision, nor is the law department there to protect the city from a suit. You know, nobody's in there arguing one way or another. They're there to answer questions. So that's just what we're trying to clarify, so people make it clear that we really are the review board is acting independently, but getting advice and being informed by the liaisons in the room. Is that fairly clear? Now that's new business. Rose, you does that mean that we actually need a vote on this, and does it need to be a roll call vote?
Yeah, you would need a vote.
We need a motion before we could.
Correct. A motion, a second, and then a vote. If the discussion on the motion seems like everyone's in agreement, then it's fine to just not have a roll call vote. But if it's going to be split or people want to abstain, it's usually easier to record if you do roll call.
So we'll entertain a motion to accept that draft bylaw amendment.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? Are we all on the same page, or do we want to take a...
Makes sense.
Straightforward.
Yeah, in the legislature, you can come to be in support, in opposition, or for informational purposes only.
Okay, so, all right.
For informational purposes.
All right. So we're going with that. I think it was pretty thoroughly discussed last time, and we know. Anything to add on that, Rose? Because, again, this affects a lot of departments and stuff like that. So this can be carried forward to the departments involved, so that it's clear what the liaison's role is, I guess.
You do need to vote, though.
We do need to vote. Oh, we do need to have. Okay, let's do a roll call vote. No, a consensus vote.
Voice vote.
Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? All right, we're good. Brochure. Do we have the brochure?
It was in the email.
I was in the email. I've looked at it, but I didn't print it off.
No, I haven't.
Brennan. Stephanie, have you handed this out? Did you hand this out?
I didn't.
Okay, right. So you've had the most recent sort of contact with people trying to explain what we do. What I kind of like about this present form is the simplicity. And the way it lays out merely what the major functions of the board are without going into excruciating details, it does mean that anybody who's distributing the brochure is in a position of having to answer questions potentially without, you know, so how does that work? But
pull up the QR code.
Yeah, pull up the QR code. Right, that's a pretty good answer. People have had a chance to look at it, and I personally don't see any source of controversy here at all. That is, it seems it really repeats what our official duties are. But I want to give people a chance. Some people are looking at it right now, even as we speak. It looks like. Does anybody see a need for?
I was hoping to. I wanted it.
I like it a lot. The only thing I'd add, not to take anything from your other organization, you all have a business card as well. That's like a little pocket thing. That's also QR code and so on.
Anecdotally, as a member of the Human Rights Commission, people love the business-sized cards with potentially a QR code leading to more information. Our business-sized cards are very popular.
That's certainly worth thinking about, I think, yeah.
In addition.
In addition. And in fact, maybe we don't so much need a motion, since I think city staff will have to help us with this, but by consensus, don't we think that's a pretty good idea, don't we? Get those, have a business card. So particularly, you find yourself in a situation where you're addressing a group, you're getting questions, you do the best you can, and you've got a card you can...
Well, it's nice for us, too, because we can carry them in our pocket or in our purse. And
I've
have
got 20
them
of theirs
us.
In my car. Yeah.
May I also make sure you are aware that both sides of that card, I believe, are printed. So we make use of both sides. I think the other side also has information. So don't leave the back blank.
So, and that was kind of my hope on this brochure, is that we would have, I was hoping to have a QR code that actually went straight to the complaint form, so that they're not having to dig through the website, because I was just looking at this QR code, and it just takes you
the same place as the link up above it.
Yeah,
the same,
exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, hey, let's make things easier for people that struggle with technology. And if we don't want to hide how to get to the complaint, we want it to be easy for our citizens.
Do you define from the web page, though?
I found it.
I mean, when
click.
I know what I'm looking for.
It's at the bottom.
Because, again, I think the brochure is meant to enlighten people as to
them.
What we do.
Mm-hmm.
Not as much as, hey, if you need to file a complaint, use this. But if you can go to the home page and easily find a way to file a complaint, I think that would...
So your thought was that it would be better to
go straight to the
have
form.
The brochure that mm-hmm. have our thing, our handout go directly to the complaint.
That was my thought.
Well, yeah, I hadn't thought about that so much, but I see your point.
Can I ask a clarifying question? We have a page that allows a person to click on a button to file a complaint or click on a different button to file an appeal. So that would be one possible landing spot, or did you just want the complaint form?
Oh.
I feel like the page with both would be enough.
Yeah.
And then it's not just on the complaint, because if they need an appeal and not a complaint, that's not.
I mean, I like that the QR code, I mean, it takes us. Mm-hmm.
If it took you one page further and scrolled down to the bottom and clicked on complaints and appeals for you to land on the page with file a complaint or file an appeal, I think that would be awesome.
I have one more note, if we're making notes.
Sure.
Do we have the capacity to get some of these, like, brailled, just for an accessibility purposes? I don't know if the city has, like, a braille printer.
I can ask. I don't know the answer.
There are decisions that work very well with nine people making them simultaneously, and other ones where I think what we do is we get some ideas out there that we carry back to the city staff that's designing it. What I think I'm hearing is no objection to the present content, but a concern about whether we could improve the way the QR code leads people to what they mainly want, and that we would like... And the two could work together very well. We would like to be looking into getting business cards, and it might be that they could help provide. You know, if you're gonna, there can be confusion if you're putting different QR codes on something like that. It's a design problem that, yeah, like I say, nine people sitting down and trying to do it at once might not be a good thing. But if we can state that our concerns are, we want to get people as conveniently as possible to complaint or appeal forms, and that it would be useful for us to have business card side things as well as the sheet. Are we pretty happy with it confining it to a sheet as opposed to a brochure if we can do,
yeah,
that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so we're not talking about a major change, maybe, but you know, designers have a different view of things than...
We call them rack cards, and the Human Rights Commission, it's not actually a trifold brochure. It is just a rack card.
Yeah.
That, yeah.
Yeah.
Rose, is the webpage designed internally or...
Yes.
Within the city?
Yes.
So if, you know, in theory, if we wanted to move that button to file a complaint somewhere more,
yeah,
prominent, then that could possibly be accomplished?
Yes, on the web page where the button to file a complaint and appeal,
it's at the very bottom.
It's when you have, yeah, when you go to the main page to get to that page, it's at the very bottom in one of those additional information bullets.
Oh, I was just going to have the QR code go directly to the page.
Right.
With the two buttons.
We were just curious if another option could be to maybe have, besides media materials, maybe you have appeals and complaints, because we still want them to see actual information about the
board. Other information.
I think that's the original intent
all
of the brochure.
All three pieces.
So, okay, let me...
Are we talking about the same thing?
Are you asking, yeah, if the front page...
I think we are. I think if I'm hearing people right, and I think I heard Matt saying something, we've got a large part of our page now taken up by that header, things like that. I mean, a designer needs to decide this, not us, but it might be that up toward the top, our general information, for more information on how the board works, we're looking here. And then if you're filing a complaint or appeal, here's the information. So you might be able to make room for...
Half and half or something?
Nope.
I can ask.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think that is very doable because they have the ability to change all that. I know that all the board and commission landing pages are the same for that initial landing page. But I'll ask and see if they can do that. And I know they use the Human Rights Commission's sheet as a model for this board sheet. So with regard to the business cards, I'm sure that they can mock up something from what they did for the Human Rights Commission.
And I think we can also be confident that between the card and the sheet, we're going to be able to get them information that gets them more directly to the complaint and appeal form. And I think we're going to have to leave something up to the discretion of the designers. But I guess the other thing that, because I know that there's always concern on the part of people who are doing these design things for the city, about whether we are discontent with the information that's in there. Well, we're not discontent except for this question of accessibility of the QR code. So I think we can at least give them that reassurance and ask if these things can be added.
And then maybe another question, Doug, would be, and correct me if I'm wrong, but is there like a city source newsletter that goes out once a month or quarterly? Mm-hmm. Like once this is approved, could it be in that as a piece, that, and I don't know who you ask about that or how that gets approved or whatever, but could we send this in that newsletter or whatever as a information about us and what we're doing?
I can ask. So the city source, they're usually either 4 pages or 6 pages, I think. And what they do is it's about a month and a half, but the deadline for submissions is about a month and a half to 2 months before the publication. They don't usually add additional inserts, so you could take the information you want to convey and put it in an article and submit it, and they could have it as an article in the 4 to 6 pages.
That's kind of what I mean, like get rid of the picture and maybe just put the information. I don't know.
And if anyone wants to write anything about the board at any time, we can submit that to them. They really like things that are current and newsworthy. So like if you wanted to write something about the work session and the work sessions you've been having and when the next one might be, that would be something that would more likely be included in a city source.
Doug for that.
Oh, thank you very much. I think we should look into it. Actually, that flows very naturally, if we're comfortable with our discussion of the brochure at this point, flows very naturally into the discussion of outreach. Our agenda says Juneteenth and other productive outreach efforts. Our discussion last month really was about what's productive and what's not productive. And I think we felt pretty strongly that mere appearance at very general community events. We were talking at that point, for instance, about the Earth Day thing, isn't getting us to the audience that we need to be talking to necessarily, and it's an expenditure of time. Juneteenth seems more promising in some ways, but once again, my concrete experience with doing it last year was we set up a booth among many booths, and we gave out water, and we gave out some cold drinks to some kids and stuff like that, and maybe two people talked about the review board. I think we are in the midst of a discussion about what really productive outreach might look like, and I think at this point what we need to do is really hear what people think about most productive, like groups we might be going out to talk to, whether there are some sessions that we need to be distinctly attending. I know, Steph, that the Human Rights Commission decided to do a listening session. There might be many kinds of venues rather than appearing at an event that isn't particularly focused on our work. I'm shopping for ideas here, is what it amounts to. We can start thinking neighborhood association meetings. Would that be a useful place to appear?
That's actually on our short list for other places we would like to do things.
Yeah. We might think about that. I don't know that we can solve that right now, but I hope we'll all spend some time thinking. I think it's probably a good thing in a way, not having an official outreach committee. And in effect, puts us all in a position of saying, do I know some group that we really need to be approaching and finding a way to talk to? If anything is leaping to mind, let's get it in our minutes now, because it got mentioned.
But, I have one that I don't want to forget about. So I did the... I'm going to forget the name of this, but I did the citizen leadership class, the first one. Don't remember what it was called.
The Academy.
Yes. That would be a great group to talk to the next time they do that. I don't believe you guys were there when I did that. And that just popped in my head since I had been through those sessions a year or two ago whenever I did that. So that may be something to put in the notes as a possible place where we could, because they're all the people in that sign up for that, I feel like are wanting to get more involved and learn and understand the city process and departments, and so that could be a good spot to.
Sounds very promising. any others that are leaping to mind? Gary?
So there's a reason we have somebody from the Human Rights Commission on this board, is that correct?
Right.
So could we partner with them on some of the things that they're doing? I mean, why reinvent the wheel if somebody else has already invented it? Does that make sense?
I know I'm busy. I'm here because this sat vacant for 3 months. Yes, that's a good idea. Yes, logically, we should be partnering on some of these.
Yeah, right. And I would think that, in a sense, both joint appearances, but when I think about your listening session, it could have just as well been a listening session for the Human Rights Commission and the CRPB.
Oh, certainly.
So I think we really do need to be thinking about that. So that seems like a very natural partnership. Any other thoughts right now?
Well, I know last year when we did the Juneteenth, I mean, we set both of the tents were right there beside each other. We did kind of partner with the Human Rights Commission for that.
I know there was a lot of confusion about the number of Juneteenth events last year, and I believe we will not be at that particular one this year. And right, I think the city is attempting to have a better organized Juneteenth calendar this year, so that may change a little.
I'll note very parenthetically that there was the youth mini summit. I've forgotten the exact thing at the ARC on Saturday, and because it had come up as a possibility here, I just sort of stuck my nose in. It seemed to be very focused on activities for the summer for youth and potential job opportunities and things like that. I think we would have fit very oddly in that. We need to think about where we're going to meet people who really want to talk to us. I hear youth, I say, but I don't. So again, let's think about people who really want to hear from us. I will talk because I've got some connections with the North Central Neighborhood Association. And see whether there's any. Okay, so we are items for next month's agenda.
What I have so far is under old business audits, the proposed changes to the city code, brochure and business cards, productive outreach. Under new business, work session follow-up, items for next month's agenda, and then reports, Human Rights Commission, and Positive Connections training, outreach, and ride-alongs.
I might add, by that time, the legislature will almost be out of session, just barely, unless, you know, things go as they have, and they go out of session a couple days early because, you know, sometimes things happen. And so that we may have an update on pending legislation that could affect operations.
And if we do, I think we should start discussing it as soon as possible.
Yeah.
I don't know if you said, Rose, but like a summary of the work session probably would be.
Yeah, I think Rose had mentioned that as okay. All right. Unless somebody else has other items that we want to put on. That was a very good list, Rose. Congratulations on getting all that. for the first time in a good while, we actually have somebody from the Human Rights Commission here. So, Steph, do you want to report on how things are there? What, anything you want to report to us?
Absolutely not. I have nothing prepared.
Okay.
I know we recently had a few pieces of the city ordinance updated since then. I know we are looking into taking on public health type issues such as a right to toilet safely, things like that. We're going to have people in speaking with us, Love Columbia, Randy Cole again at the Housing Authority, trying to tackle health and sanitary concerns downtown next, maybe. Okay.
Thanks. Anybody have anything to report on the positive connections or outreach or ride along front? I'll remind the new members, although I did not do a thorough job of reviewing the expectations of your onboarding, more or less, but ordinarily new members go on a ride-along with a police officer as part of their training, so I think that's an important thing to do. I feel like many of the things that, in terms of getting to know the board operations, we could prose on and on. There's going to be some learning by doing, and so I just want to encourage you when you feel like saying what, say what, and we'll do our best to catch up with things. So
it is my intention to get that scheduled as soon as possible and hopefully have it be riding along by the end of the month. I have no idea what the turnaround time is. I can get it done by the end of the month.
Yeah, I sent an email to, I believe, the assistant police chief, and I haven't received any responses of yet. I'm hoping I send it to the right email address, but I just introduced myself and said, I'm asking for this ride along.
Rose, I believe you messaged me a person's contact information is it a specific person's contact information to arrange the ride along?
I believe right now it's Assistant Chief Paul Dickinson.
Okay.
And I can make a brief recommendation. I've done several ride alongs, and Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays are certainly the most fun.
Right.
So,
right.
If you want to get your money's worth, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Well done.
Midnight, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I think if there's nothing more along those lines in terms of reports, then I think we're ready for the general comments from the public and then members and then the staff. So I'll remind you that individual members of the public will be allowed 3 minutes to address the board, and representatives of a group will be allowed 5 minutes to address the board. So that said, the floor is open for whoever would like to come up. Mm-hmm. Please come up and introduce yourself as usual. And
Chris Jones, I think you all know who I am. Second ward, I am here tonight representing, I'm sorry, hold Como accountable. I request my 5 minutes, please. Mm-hmm. Tonight, before I came, I did message some people and ask them if they had anything that they would like shared tonight. And I received the following email. I'm going to preface this with, this was written to Dr. Stiepelman. Dr. Stiepelman is the former superintendent of Columbia Public Schools. Dr. Stiepelman, I'm sure I am like many parents of child who attends a school within the CPS district, too busy to attend board meetings, busy busing kids to sporting events and practices, and happy with my child's school life. Over the last couple of weeks, I have watched your staff come under attack by a special interest group who disguise themselves as community leaders. In reality, they lead no one and have little to no vested interest in school life. It's clear they have an agenda that may seem well-meaning at first glance. I suspect well-meaning has an undercurrent leading to changes that go against the overwhelming wishes of CPS parents throughout the district. Ms. Wilson-Kleekamp and I share the fact that we are both transplants to Columbia. She is from Arizona, me a little bit further. My vested interest is that my child is happy and thriving within CPS. Ms. Wilson-Kleekamp has no vested interest, and that scares me. I understand that she may indeed have some valid points, but all that I ask is that she not be allowed to dictate from her vulgar bully pulpit. You have my backing, as do your staff. I think that it's safe to say you have the backing of the silent vested majority who are too busy busing kids to and from after school activities to attend board meetings. Due to my job, I would be grateful if you would keep this email confidential. The aim of this email was to reach out and support, as I cannot start to understand the difficult position you and your staff are in. Signed, Paul Dickinson, a supportive parent. At the time, Paul Dickinson was not the assistant chief of police. He was a lieutenant on the police department. Now, I take issue with many things in this email. I'm going to preface this to say that what he's not telling you in this email, because Dr. Stiepelman has this prior knowledge, is that Ms. Wilson-Kleekamp, her name is Tracy, she is well known in the community by many of us, she is one of the founders of Race Matters Friends. She is very active in promoting equitable treatment among all community members. She is a Black woman. When Paul Dickinson said that a vulgar bully pulpit, what he was really saying is that he did not like that a Black woman was standing up and saying that she wanted people treated equitably. The silent majority is something that often white conservatives take to mean to say that they are underrepresented, or that they believe that their rights are being taken away. And as many of us all know, conservatives are not the ones being bullied. Background about Dickinson, now Assistant Chief Dickinson, is that last year he came under scrutiny when he threatened volunteers from a local organization called COMAC, who were helping unhoused community members move out of an encampment. This is on video. Now, whenever he says that Tracy is a transplant, what he does not say that she really isn't a transplant. While she may have been born in Arizona, her grandfather was a preacher just down the street at Second Baptist Church. What he further does not say, when he's talking about she's speaking from this vulgar bully pulpit, is that Ms. Wilson Kleekamp's family was enslaved here in Columbia. Not only that, is that she has to drive the streets of Columbia where the people who enslaved her family members have streets in Columbia named after them. She has every right to speak out about equity. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Dr. Meredith Fortigiam, and I believe most all of you, they know me, and you know me, and I presented my story is a long story, that to make the story short. I presented the 13-page issues pertaining to 13 unsolved cases by CPD. And I presented to you and so forth, and I was given 3 minutes, just like right now, so I could not, present all my evidence and my proofs and so on, and the video pertaining to each of those cases there. And when I presented this, I was expecting for someone, I was told that I would be contacted and in some session, so I would be given an opportunity to provide you with my proof and evidence of my complaints about CPD. And that has never come forth. I followed up with that, the office of CPD and office of Ms. Wibbenmeyer, and I was told, I received an email from Ms. Wibbenmeyer that they mailed me a letter about that there was a findings by, it was signed by Doug Hunt as a chair of CPRB, and then she emailed me the letter because I didn't receive the actual physical letter in time so that I could appeal it. And Doug is going to verify that, of course, that I never received it in time for me to appeal it, which I would have most definitely done because I've been consistently working on this one for the last 2 years. So in line with that, my understanding is that, CPRB is supposed to, and when somebody complains, like myself, complains about some misconduct or some issues with CPD, that you would receive my evidence, my proofs there, and then you could also hear CPD's version, and then you decide who's right and who's wrong and so forth. Right. That's my understanding of it. But that has not happened in my case. It has not happened. I have not been given a chance to provide my proof and evidence to CPRB members, number one. Number two is that the premises by which CPRB decided on this is based on misinformation. And I can prove that easily if I'm given more than a minute, 30 seconds there, I can prove that. Another issue about it is that I did not receive that in mail, and I have proof to prove it that I didn't. And I was given 5 days afterwards, and I did not receive a letter from CPRB in time, and I was given supposedly 5 days to appeal. But since I never received it in time, then how could I appeal it? Okay, I'm asking this for after Doug does verify that indeed I did not receive it, and I have CPD has got my official address, because I sent a certified letter to Chief Schludy there on December the 15th. So why they sent it to a different address, I have no idea. So what I'm asking is that I should be given, rightfully, I should be given a chance to present my proofs and evidence of the misconducts by CPD officers there in 13 unsolved cases, because we're supposed to be fighting the crime and so forth there to have a better community here. And I've lived here 52 years, right at 52 years in Colombia there. I think I deserve that.
Thank you.
Other comments from the public? Comments from members or staff?
I have one question there, absolutely. The question is that in the letter that I received from Doug, there, you mentioned there that he is not within your purview that for CP, for you to recommend that because of the conflict of interest on the part of CPD, because some officers are implicated in my cases there, to be referred to Missouri Highway Patrol. You mentioned in your letter that it is not within your purview to recommend that. My question to all of you and to Ms. Wibbenmeyer is that who within City of Columbia, who is in charge of that, that would be recommending to CPD to refer the cases to be solved by an impartial law enforcement, which is Missouri Highway Patrol, because that is the protocol within the City of Columbia. Please.
Right now, I'm unable to answer that question, but we heard the question. At this point in the meeting, we would ordinarily be entertaining a motion to go into closed session. The only thing that I saw that we might be needing to go into closed session about was if we had to get into a discussion of the audits that we're going to do that would take us beyond what is publicly discussable. And I don't think we are in that situation now. I think we've come up with a plan.
Agreed.
That will allow us to proceed. Is there anything else? What we've got noted here is appeal CRB 2024-0001. Obviously, we can't discuss the particulars of that, but unless another member of the board sees a reason for us to go and discuss that, which I think has been discussed previously, and there's no reason for us to be going into closed session tonight that I know of.
Great.
If somebody wants to make a motion to go into closed session because they feel there's something that needs to be discussed there, this would be the time to do it. I'm just saying that I don't see it, but others may.
Anything?
I would actually make a motion to adjourn.
Okay. It's been moved to adjourn, and I think Xavier seconded. That's a voice vote, or that's a...
Voice vote is fine.
Okay. All those in favor of adjourning, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same.